everybody who's here is actually on the list.
Well, I guess first thing to do is roll call.
Call meeting order.
Oh, call a meeting order first, then we'll do roll call.
Okay, City of Bussey.
Yep.
I'm here.
City of Harvey.
Yep.
City of Knoxville.
Yes.
City of Melcher.
Yes.
City of Pella is absent. City of Pleasantville.
Yes.
Washington Township. Absent. Knoxville Township.
Mm-hmm.
Lake Prairie Township.
Yes.
Marion County, absent. Pleasant Grove Township is absent. Red Rock Township is absent. Clay Township.
Yes.
Indiana Township, absent. Everybody.
Approve tonight's agenda.
Has everybody had time to read the agenda? Second? All right. Yep, we got it approved, second.
Who was the second?
Yeah, I can read, hey, I can read his. I read it on the, oh, she got it.
Now we want to approve the minutes of last meeting?
I don't, unless you guys want to do a roll call vote on all these, in the interest of time, on some of the stuff that's, just keep going.
That's the only time I get to say yay.
All right. So we need to approve the meeting minutes from May 25th.
I'll move, sir.
Second.
Done deal.
Do your all in favor.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Somebody's got to say no.
And I'm going to be quick with this, but if you have questions, by all means, ask. Let's have a conversation.
You on the PSAP grant now?
Yes. So where we're at with the PSAP grant is, most of you users of the radio saw the email come out. We met with Dwayne. Went basically line by line from each department with the issues that you were having with the radios. And by and large, we left it to Dwayne to set a date at which we could expect the stuff to be completed. He did that. That was conveyed in the email to all of you. Well, those dates have passed. I know this guy's radios are not done. Some of the issues go beyond Raycom to the manufacturer of the radio, but I do have some dialogue with, or conversation with Dwayne, that Harris may have kicked it back to Raycom to actually do some adjusting of levels within our system to make it work. I don't have an answer on the scanning issue. There is the thought that the scanning issue actually could be tied to the volume. I say volume, non-technical, but the volume level within the radio. Radio may not be hearing it. So I don't have where we're at with it right now. When we met with Dwayne, we were honest with him, candid with him, and said, look, Chief and I are giving you this opportunity. This time we're talking to you. If you miss the deadline and stuff doesn't get resolved, we're going to Mike Miller, the owner of Raycom. Our next conversation will be with Mike Miller. That's where we're at right now.
Have you talked to him yet?
Have I talked to Mike Miller?
Yes.
No.
Okay. That's your next move.
My expectation is tonight, Chief McKenzie is going to be here, and before we leave here tonight, he and I will figure out some sort of a game plan to have a conversation with Mike Miller.
It's getting worse for us.
Okay, but
I know the sheriff is not happy, and really, it's one of those things where until we all started talking, we didn't realize they're having the same problems that we're having, and
is it a scanning problem? Is that it?
Well, the PD frequency is my primary channel.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't recognize its primary channel. If the sheriff's office is talking, it overrides my channel.
Oh, you're fine.
And then every now and then, all we hear is stuff, solid squelch because of something, keys in the radio, and it's solid nonstop squelch. And you have to change channels to get it to recess. And it's officer safety for me, Mike.
Oh, sure.
Other than myself and my three lieutenants that have the radios, we can miss calls because of that. And it's not good.
Well, I just, I had a situation with a call we had and the other day on an accident, and the guys were within a half a mile of one another, and it was all real staticky. So I sent him, I gave him a voicemail to call me, and he didn't. So and what I'm finding with what's happening with Raycom, I think, but I don't know this, is that they are so busy that Dwayne is getting stuck out there instead of staying in here taking care of the office, shall I say, or taking care of daily business. So I'm not sure that's his fault, but yet I got a hold of him today and I literally pulled him out of the office and took him with me to try to solve the problem. So I understand where you're coming from, and I think that's a wise decision, but I think the other thing that maybe needs to be said to the head of Raycom is I think you need some more people.
I don't want to put words in Chief Bukinski's mouth, but I think that was going to definitely be part of the conversation, that look, the Pella shop has missed a deadline that by and large they set the dates. It wasn't like we browbeat them and said, we said pick a realistic expectation and just tell us what it is, but then we're going to hold your feet to the fire. But we let it go that way, and that those dates have come and gone.
But I think that's part of it, is that they're just
overwhelmed.
Just overwhelmed, and they don't have, the big boy needs to know that there needs to be more help.
They've outsold their ability to do service and installation.
And it might take this situation to correct.
So Chief Bukinski, we're on the Pella Peace Out grant update, and I explained to him that we'd met with Dwayne. Kind of able to pick up where we're at, and I told him that my expectation was that you and I would now be lining up a conversation with Mike Miller, the owner of Raycom, as we instructed Dwayne. Dwayne knows he's missed the date. I did have a conversation with him last week, but it was at an inappropriate time for me. We were on other business.
How much stuff has he got left? Besides all the extra?
I can pretty much go point at every one of these departments. They don't have any of the radios yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're still missing one install. I mean,
and two-handed.
There's
the Harris radios. They don't go through on page.
Right.
And then my only other thing is the battery life sucks on them.
Really?
Yeah. Do we have a price on batteries that we can get through them? You know,
let's rough right around $100. But that's also one thing that I've asked for a formal quote for the board, so that you could all, so that all departments could buy batteries on off of that quote. Not saying that they do this, but that way everybody's getting the same price.
Because we're gonna have to at least have one extra battery per radio, because they 12 hours, or if you have it on for a full 12 hours, it's dead.
Yep.
Chief, am I missing anything?
No.
Anything you want to add?
No, I apologize. I just left from another meeting, got here as soon as I could. But so I'm not sure exactly what you said, but I think one of the best points made in that meeting was that there's a lot of competition within communications in the state right now, and they're sitting in a position where they're one of the top two, and there's a golden opportunity for them to make so much progress on a system that is arguably superior in some respects, at least. And I said, you can blow, or I don't remember if you said or I said, but we discussed it ahead of time, you're going to blow an opportunity, because you're not taking care of the people who have been faithful to you, and you're not, you know, and we went around agency by agency, and Jeff had, I guess he met with you, and accrued a very good list of what needs to get done. And those points were made, and he had nothing, I mean, he couldn't do anything but say, daggone it, you're right. And I've seen at least a great, it seems like you got his attention. I don't know how much is getting done, but it looks like he's doing a lot more than he would have done, that's for sure.
It's been our experience in the past dealing with them that it's been that way for a while. We'll take a radio in that's broke, and 6 weeks later we have a hurricane. And finally somebody will call and, oh, that's been done for 2 weeks. Well, we got a call, nothing. Or when we were calling, oh, yeah, we're still working on it. Well, 3 to 6 weeks to fix one radio is...
Well, thanks, Chief. I totally forgot that element of the conversation with Dwayne, but we made it very clear to Dwayne. This is some 3 weeks ago. We made it very clear to him in that meeting that this board was meeting tonight and that we would be expected and we would give you an update. And we basically told him it was in his best interest and Raycom's best interest for us to be able to give you a good report. And unfortunately, I'm not in a position to tell you. Some stuff has been addressed, but we could go around the room and there's still a lot of incomplete stuff. I know, Chief, your repeater still, according to the email, what has increased is the uptick in emails. So I don't know if that's supposed to make me think that they're getting stuff done. But yet when I talk to all of you, Kenny's still missing a radio. Jordan still doesn't have any of the 9 radios. So we gave them every opportunity and we're very candid with them. And we leaned on him, but we weren't out of line. We set the expectation and made it very clear what the repercussions were going to be. So I'm of the opinion that they tried some stuff, but there were still, again, when I get out and talk to you, talking to him, for example, they were here one day and literally came in and looked and left, said they were coming back the next day. 3 days goes by, a weekend goes by. On Monday, he gets some communication that, well, we're coming. It's a couple days later. They show up. They do show up and put one radio in. A week later. But still don't have the second radio installed. And to my knowledge, you've had no communication since then about, hey, we're coming.
Go make the next step.
Get some pretty good
news. Go to the boss. And if that doesn't work, our next step is we go to Harris and say, you got a vendor out here that's not supporting your product.
I would like, we don't need to vote on it, but I would like, and I don't think it's going to be an issue, general consensus from the board for Chief and I to express this board's dissatisfaction or disappointment. So it's so that it's not just the Chief and I, it's the Chief and I and this board that are disappointed in the service and the follow-up of the sale at this point.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Okay. Not even a question. I mean, I don't say... not a lot of problems, but the Chief radio is not working.
Right? Yep, that's one of those 200s.
You know how much money we spent for that stupid radio?
Unfortunately, I do.
And you know, the Chief, he's the one that out of the department needs it the most, you know.
Unfortunately, the incident or the operation that took place this morning, the sheriff and I each had a 200. And the sheriff also had a Motorola radio sitting on the table. And for whatever reason, the airplane that was literally 1,000 feet over, directly over our head, neither one of us could talk to him or hear him on the 200. But when he picked up the Motorola radio, all of a sudden it was like the world came to life. Now we're having a two-way conversation. It's like, what is the deal? It was a $1,000 radio and we got two $5,000 radios sitting there that weren't doing anything. So, I don't know if it's the radio, I don't know if it's the way they're tuned, programmed, or what, but just another example as early as this morning where they didn't work.
Pretty important.
So that's a pretty spotty reception online.
Okay. If there's nothing further...
I'm going to say now, some of you guys have been around, I mean, it was on the fire department before we had radios.
Yep, and just Kenny.
That's one of the greatest tools.
Ain't quite that old yet. We use smoke signals.
Trumpets.
Bussy's call used to go to 4 telephone numbers and they had buttons for a siren. They pushed the siren and you went through the station.
I remember when you worked with the pagers to the radios.
Yeah, the little pagers before the radios.
If there's no further discussion on the PSAP grant, we'll go ahead and go to the bylaw updates.
Okay. As a result of legislation that was passed last session, the Marion County Emergency Management Commission is entitled to a seat on this board. So there's really nothing here that we need, that you guys need to do, other than we will make that correction, bring it before you at the next board meeting for approval. But while we had this topic open, I wanted to, I'm not proposing anything. I wanted you all to have the opportunity, if there's anything else in the bylaws that you wish to see updated, changed, specifically I'm speaking of quorum, minimum quorum.
We spoke about that before. Currently it's 51% of active members.
It's eight now.
Isn't it eight people?
Yes.
Currently.
How many members are on the table?
But my thing is, what do you consider active?
Well, it's eligible members.
Okay.
There's 14 total members.
Plus you're gonna add eight.
If you go back and look at roll call over the past year, there's some very inactive members.
There it is, right there.
So that kills your quorum right away. I mean, that's, you can say there's 14, but there are really probably only 12.
Since right there are, currently it says quorum is 8 voting members.
And as I said, I'm not proposing anything. While we're doing a review and making some changes or additions, I wanted to at least let you have the conversation. So
we've had this conversation before, and we've had problems in the past getting a quorum here because we have so many inactive members.
So can
we can change that number to any number we want, correct?
We can legally drop that number?
We can, whatever we want. And yep. I would think that normally we have 5 to 6, no problem.
I would
recommend that we lower that number to 5. That way we don't have these wasted meetings that we've had in the past.
Because you know the number's there, but you definitely, some people can't come. And
it's
been that way ever since
I've been here.
Okay, so what I'm saying is then we need to, I agree with that, we need to lower that number because it's really not a legitimate number.
So that's just an arbitrary number that
we're it's an arbitrary there. Number that you get to set as a board. You get to set as long as it is ratified in the end.
I would think that changing it to 5 makes sense for us. I think it's a fair number, and we still are going to have some intelligent conversation with 5 of us here. Enough of us have different opinions.
If that's what
is that the same, even if you're like we're at your budget meeting and get a vote though? I mean, that's like 30% of the.
We still get a vote, you just only have to have that many there
sure.
to do it.
But I mean, like that would approve your budget with like 40% of the voting. I mean, it's less than 50, so if that raises any question with anybody outside of this room, you're like, well, who the heck approved? I mean, that's the only reason. I mean, most of the time, I know what you're talking about because we've done that before in different meetings, but usually for at least that meeting it's stated that we probably need to have maybe
and
that.
You can put that stipulation in there as board.
But I'm
not going to lead you in any particular direction. It's just that we came dangerously close to not getting a budget amendment approved this spring, and I don't think we were real fat on members even for budget approval. Mm-hmm. I think we had to get somebody on the phone.
We did.
So
let's lower our quorum to 5. I think that's reasonable. Again, I think it's a reasonable number, and it will keep us, because those of us that are active are going to be here. It's easy to get the 5, and when we have the 8, like, or 9 that we have tonight, that's great. Or it'll be 10 now, but if you count.
Ask him if that's a motion.
Is that a motion?
That's a motion.
I'll second.
All right, we'll make those changes. Anything else before we move on?
Yeah, the only question I have, I want to go back. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you want to
what Jordan said.
Make the exception when it comes to budgetary meetings? That
that's up to you guys.
Forum? Is that what you suggested?
That's what shot us in the foot last time.
It is. I mean,
it's what shot us in the foot last time.
Yeah.
And it's 30% of the members that are present, is it? Or is it 30%?
51%.
On the budget approval process. What is
how many do we have to have for the budget approval? Were you going off the quorum, or I mean, do you have to have like a certain amount?
No, for this, for the 911 board, it's your quorum.
Okay. Okay.
There's no other requirement in code that I'm currently aware of.
Okay, then I think it's a moot point.
Yeah, I just, some people see that, and then like, you have two people, you know, whatever, I just want to make sure that that's not, so.
You have a 3-2 vote.
Get all our bases covered.
Yeah, yeah.
How come you 4 or 5?
Motion in a second. All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Motion passed. Okay, we'll go on to number 6. Update and action as needed from the executive committee on strategic plan.
All right. I want you and Terry as executive committee members lead that. All right, in the interest of time. So the executive committee met, I don't remember the date, roughly a month ago. Chair Slycord talked in depth about the fact that we have tried over the last 2.5 years to develop a strategic plan. Primarily on what to do with our funding, you know, what are we doing, where are we going, that sort of thing. The executive committee, after much dialogue, and at any point you step in here, you too, discussed, they kind of narrowed, they went back and looked at the results of the strategic planning survey and narrowed the focus to the communication system and the desire and the need to move some direction as far as communication system. We stopped that conversation momentarily to have a kind of a sidebar conversation about, is this the appropriate board? Is this the appropriate group to tackle the countywide communication system? And again, after some dialogue, it was decided that we didn't need a separate communications committee, that this board contained the right folks, both administrative and operations folks, and could easily communicate with operations folks, and that this board also had a funding stream, and that this was the appropriate board to move that. So then the discussion moved to, what does that look like? How do we do that? And just being blunt, the conversation went like this. We all acknowledged that we were not hired as designers or architects of a radio infrastructure system, and that this board should look at hiring a consultant who specializes in that field that could tell us what we need and design a system for us and assist us with obtaining impartial bids so that we're in accordance with the competitive bidding laws in the state of Iowa, and that could basically act as a project manager if we get to a point where we're building out a system. That contractor, that consultant could help with that part of it. And then at the very end, when it was acceptance time, it's time to turn it on and check it out. If it didn't work, then that consultant could hold the contractor's feet to the fire for us so that we're not trying to play all of these roles that it's not what we do. Marsha and the chief both have extensive experience now with this process as board members in Mahaska County. So the executive committee voted unanimously to bring the discussion here for full board discussion about their desire to hire a consultant. Let's get this process started.
I think it's a no-brainer.
Absolutely.
It's a no-brainer. Go forward with it.
So part of the directive from the executive committee to the staff was to, as soon as possible, get the ear of the supervisors and start the conversation that, hey, at some point, we're going to want to talk to you about financing. We're going to need to talk to you about financing. So I talked to Chairman Ramey, who was supposed to be here tonight to do just that. He also agreed that from the Board of Supervisor perspective, that it was probably going to be much better received if a project proposal came in from a consultant, and I don't mean any disrespect when I say this, versus a project proposal that comes in from fire chiefs, police chiefs, and an emergency manager or 911 coordinator. It's not what we were hired to do. So he also agreed that this was probably the best thing. None of us liked the idea of potentially spending $40,000 or $50,000, but my hope is that we can glean enough off of what Mahaska's done, is doing, and what Warren County is doing right now. So they're both basically simultaneously in this consultant somewhere in this timeline. My hope is we can learn enough from them that we could potentially trim some costs and not pay maybe as much as what they've done. But regardless,
it's cheap money.
When you start talking potentially $2 or $3 or more million, $50,000 for design and some advice is very.
What do you need from the board?
Chief, I need your help. How are we going to start this? How do we say to the consultant, the communications consultant world, do we just put out notice that we're seeking proposals from them for the following services, and that is, assessment of current and design of future?
I don't know if under law we're held to any kind of purchasing policy or whatever is going to require an RFP or anything. But even if we don't have to go by RFP, we should do the same work, meaning define the scope of work and whatnot, because I think when we do that, it's really going to open some eyes, their eyes and our eyes. I'll give you an example. I'm looking at propagation maps of the proposed Motorola system within Marion County, and I'm thinking, okay, well, the state bid is for mobile coverage, 95% mobile coverage, and it doesn't, our county can be zero, and they'll still meet the specs of the state contract because it's statewide. So who knows where we're going to get, but it's mobile coverage, 95% level. And then, but I look at the propagation maps based on the Motorola distributed based on a 400-foot tower, and we're deficient. And I'm going now to portable. I went portable at the hip in a building, residential building. I'm not going to go commercial. That's a whole other animal. But I'm looking at that. We are sorely deficient. Pleasantville, sad condition. Melcher, Bussey, all the outlying areas. You're going to be in a bad way. And so I think we need a consultant to tell us, well, how do we build this out? Sure, we got what's now a 300-foot tower. Now, how does that affect the propagation maps? Is this circle reduced? And it comes down to, okay, is it going to be analog? Is it digital? Is it VHF? Are we talking 700, 800 propagation? And the way the radio waves travel is different on each and every one of them. So we need experts to help us explain that, because once we understand it, then now we got to decide, how do we fix the problem in Pleasantville? Where does Pella need a tower? We've got water towers. Is that going to be enough, or do we need something else? We've got a paging problem in Pella. How do we fix that at the same time? Maybe we can solve, these are something that's outside of my job description, that's for sure. I'm not a Doug Van Gorkum. I can't just slap this together.
All I need is a drink of beer.
That's where all your wisdom.
It works.
That's all your wisdom.
All I can do is have another beer.
That's why I never cut it as a fireman. But no, what I'm getting at is there's a lot going on here, and we could probably solve from just throwing numbers out, $2 million, it might cost us $5, $6, $7, $8 million if we're just hacking away at it and trying to...
Not accomplish nothing.
Yeah, a consultant, I think Mahaska County spent $25,000 or $30,000 on the front side. Now they're taking another run at a consultant to solve other problems because they're not getting a state tower in their county. And, how many towers do they want? And as part of their RFP, the second time through, They've got to decide at what level, which is a big part of it. They decided on 90% coverage with portables, countywide and in Oskaloosa. Right now, Oskaloosa has 11% inside buildings.
Wow.
That's their level of connectivity with no tower in their county. So they've got to build all their own towers, and, you know, we're going to build five, you're going to build some. You know, you can't do that without assistance. And I don't know that we're any different other than we're going to have a big tower in the middle of the county to start with. So that gives us a leg up there. But these outlying areas, we're, you know, all around the perimeter, we are going to need help. Somebody's got to look out for us.
You think RFPs will identify the scope? I mean, that's the route to go?
Well, at least the work that goes into an RFP, I don't know if we're bound to proceed that way under code, but right. I would say this, if it's going to be big money, then we're going to go to the commissioners. Now, are we going to ask for them to pass a levy? Is it going to be a bond? Now, all of a sudden, those laws are going to come into play, and, well, you didn't RFP it, so now you don't qualify for a bond. I think, you know, at some point, we may need to talk to council about this as well, so we do proceed appropriately.
That was, and I want to interject this right now, that was another directive to staff from the executive committee, was to poll the other 911 boards in the state to see how many of them regularly used outside legal counsel. And so we did that. I think that data is in front of you. By and large, most of them are not, but there was a common theme. If you knew kind of the current events going on in those counties, or if they had already done maybe a radio system or a large project, they were the ones that said, yep, we're using outside counsel, or we've used outside counsel. So I think the handwriting on the wall, at least the way I'm interpreting that data, is to say this. If we're going to get into a project like this, it would be my suggestion, my recommendation to you, that we seek outside counsel that is with you basically from the first steps of the project, and not trying to bring somebody in the middle. I've talked to County Attorney Bull about this, and his preference would be that this board, use outside counsel. Outside counsel could work kind of in conjunction with his office, but he would prefer that the outside counsel would be the lead, because this is contract law. You know, this isn't criminal law, this is contract law. That kind of stuff. It's kind of a specialty field.
So you're saying besides getting a consultant, we would need to get a lawyer, an attorney?
I think that's my recommendation. Because I know at some point, as recently as like a month ago, Mahaska County was essentially dealing with three or four different attorneys. They had a bonding counsel, the county attorney, the Emergency Management Commission has outside counsel, and I think there was even another one in there. So, and they're, some of the issues they're having are because they got off out of the gate in maybe a bad step, because they didn't have that counsel directing them from the word go. And so now they're trying to clean stuff up and get forged ahead. And it's, Chief, I don't want to put words in your mouth as a board member, but it's been fairly painful. One step forward, three step back at times. And
yeah, and some things that you have there are very, very good. There's other issues out there that, you know, everybody has problems. But the challenge they have there is, you know, they're community representatives. And it's the same as us. It's leadership. It's with either within your agency or within your community. It's leadership. And they, some of them are just not up to speed. So it's three steps back is a lot of education at a very, very base level. But it's good. It's good. It's, you know, it's unfortunate we have to go there. But probably every board in the state probably needs to be at some level. But this attorney, they have two attorneys. The bonding attorney, very, very expensive. They have a dedicated attorney who apparently represents several, either EMA boards or 911 boards. Mahaska County does, well, they're not the same, but they meet back to back. That guy is very up to speed on the law with respect to this. Not saying we have to use him if we do go that direction, but I can definitely see the benefit of it. And he has done a lot to rein in problems. You know, hey, you're going to end up where you don't want to end up, and you're going to get subpoena, basically discussions out of meeting, what's appropriate, what's not, and you know, you're going to run afoul of the law here, and you're not going to like what happens. And, you know, so he's able to get a lot of that under control and just offer good sound counsel. So I've started sitting next to him at the meetings just to pick his brain, thinking, oh, okay, well, there's a lot of stuff here that, you know, will be beneficial in Marion County. And I'm thinking, no, I'm not paying for it. We're not paying for it. I'm just going to pick his brain.
Does he have room for one more?
Yeah, so we're fortunate, and we have a decent voice over there, but you know, we only have a tiny little sliver of Mahaska County that's part of Pella. But the thing is, we have dispatch responsibility for fire and EMS. That district over there is considerable. I don't know, a quarter of the county maybe, or more.
We go at least. Yeah, we're at least a quarter of the county.
So we need a motion on this, or what?
Well, let's let's move the discussion to, what do we need to do? What do you want staff to do? Chief, do you think that we can, obviously this board is going to kind of set the scope of any RFP or any project as far as like the standard. We for example, we want 80% coverage with a portable at the hip in building. I'm throwing out a scenario, but this board would set that standard, correct, or that expectation?
We do that. So the understanding is, the higher the percentage, the more the cost, not to the consultant.
Yep.
So the final project.
Yeah, so it's prudent sometimes to say, give us a 90, a 95, and a 97. Doesn't, well, Jordan, Des Moines area, doesn't Polk County have 97% or something like that?
Yeah, any fire inspection we do, we test inside building and stuff to make sure it goes through, so it's pretty high. Yeah. Really, yeah.
So that's probably the optimum. I can't imagine. Okay. One higher than that, everybody's going to run around with antennas on their head or something. But
we'll provide options with all three. Sure. Levels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? If you do that, it'll give you three cost options, three different models. You'll see where the towers are, and you know, you can decide. We have problems, and I imagine Knoxville will, and maybe every community does, that won't be solved by this. We have a hospital with layer after layer after layer of concrete. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to go outside the scope of that. And, you know, unless a consultant, we build that into it. But, you know, I've already approached the hospital about a solution for that. I'm like, hey, this is your facility. These are your clients. These are your employees. You have to help on this. And they seem to be very willing to work with us. But still, you know, the consultant's not going to be helping guarantee. There's no model out there that's going to get us 95% coverage portable at the hip inside that hospital unless they do something with the infrastructure.
Well, maybe we can make that part of our...
Right.
RFP, where the consultant is expected to acknowledge those things and maybe start the conversations with the hospitals. The one thing I would be critical, that I think would be critical to all of you, would be school buildings.
The consultant should identify and start the conversation with those areas that may become a problem at this point.
And if we're designing a system, to me, that would be something that would be a good part of it. So the way I see it is, this board is going to have to start thinking about what the standards are going to be in the scope of work. How do you see us getting out of the gate, Chief? Can we kind of look at what Mahaska and Warren County have done as far as their first couple steps? And
I would recommend that we can, you know, basically troubleshoot what they've done and say that didn't work, that does work. I have. Again, Mahaska County is going a second run at it with a consultant. Different problem they're tackling. But I have the results of the first report, and they're building the RFP on this one, so I'll be able to share data, bring data from both of those, maybe they're public documents.
So if it pleases the board, then I would suggest that you as board members start thinking about what things you want included in the scope of work. It would be my suggestion that you direct the staff to reach out to Warren and Mahaska, obtain as much of the documentation about their process as allowable, and then we share that with you so that you can start having conversations about narrowing the field and getting the project moving.
I'd make a motion to that effect.
Okay.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Is there anything that we're forgetting at this point? And it's not your fault, it's not my fault, we've done everything in our power. We can't forget the element of the supervisors and the financing. We've got to engage them early, which our intent obviously was to do it tonight. We've got to engage them in a conversation as soon as possible, so. Terry, am I forgetting anything? Kim, you were there?
I think that pretty well covers it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how are we gonna engage the supervisors?
Still waiting for the first step.
Well.
Have something in our hand to take to them first, okay?
I'm gonna throw something out. And I'm gonna be careful how I tiptoe through the daisies here, but maybe a letter or an email on behalf of this board, maybe from the chairperson, to all three supervisors saying, look, this is an urgent matter. We have tried to, on two occasions, we've tried to engage the Board of Supervisors in a preliminary conversation, and we've not had representation from the Board of Supervisors. And just throw that out there.
Kim?
Huh?
You wanna be that blunt, or do you wanna send a letter to say,
that's just walking.
Here's the plan, and it's too big.
Can we just request a meeting with three supervisors?
Sure.
Have the executive board just go in there and say, this is our issues.
That might be the best thing.
That might be the best thing.
I agree with Jim on that. I think that's maybe hitting it a little bit. I think, not that I wouldn't wanna do that, but I think that's probably hitting it a little bit hard.
Just be careful you don't bite the hands trying to get to feed you.
But it does upset me that they
That might be good advice. Is we request an agenda item or a conversation with the 911 board to be placed on their agenda. And we just send members there and we start the conversation.
That might be the best to have some of these members go to them.
I think that'd be a good idea.
I think that's the way to do it.
Okay.
It's more personal.
Do you, trying to think what they've got coming up at their meetings. Timeframe wise, in the next month?
Well, you keep letting it drag and drag, but I think if we wanna get this going, we need to push forward.
Is your expectation that they pay for the consultant?
My expectation is this board will pay for the consultant. My expect, and it's mine, you're the board, you guys are the board members, but my expectation is this board contributes some of the surcharge dollars to the cost of the project. I don't think that the revenue that this board gets can totally pay it.
The county needs to step forward.
But I think it can be the board can make a contribution either to the upfront cost or ongoing maintenance, because there's kind of two things there that we've got to be cognizant of.
And this might be, I'm not trying to open up another can of worms, but is there grant money out? Is there ways to get grant money for this kind of project? I'm just asking.
Not that I've seen,
okay,
but
fine.
Maybe that, but that's also a consultant thing.
I know.
Consultants,
That's the other thing. We can say, well, this board will help finance it. We would like the supervisors to help finance it, but maybe that's something else I think we need to look into is there some grant money out there that could be used for it?
Well, I would think if there's, and I'm not saying there aren't grants out there, but I would think a communications consultant would be primarily aware of opportunities.
But I think that's something that we need to keep on top of the table.
Okay.
October 10th or 24th.
having a special meeting at some point too, on something, but I don't know what the date was.
So we're looking at about 2 weeks for their first meeting in October and essentially 4 weeks.
Make a request, we put up the first one, if they defer it to us, we go to the next one.
Next one.
All right, we'll get the request in.
I don't know if that limits anybody, but that's Fire Prevention Week. I know we've got stuff going all week long in the school, so. I don't know who pulls out of people, but.
Who would go to that meeting?
I could send Mercer, I mean, that's, I mean, I would go, but.
I'm.
Let's get on the agenda and we'll figure it out.
Okay.
I couldn't hear what you said, you say Fire Prevention Week?
Fire Prevention Week is that week, so I know we're busy with stuff, but Mercer can go, I mean, that's, it doesn't matter, I mean, that's what I said, we'd have somebody for Pleasantville, but.
I think Pleasantville needs to be there, you guys are in that way.
They're one of the weak places like we are.
Yeah.
Okay, no further discussion on that, we'll go to number seven.
You pretty much just took care of it, as far as I'm concerned, you just nailed it.
Okay, go on to number eight then.
This is really not looking for any board action, just kind of a reminder, we talked a lot around the first of the year about addressing, and especially in the cities, in the small cities. This is just another plea on behalf of the staff. Please talk to your city clerks, your city officials who are doing addressing, and please hammer on them the importance of when they assign new addresses, when new streets are built, they've got to let us know. Otherwise it will not be in the 911 system. And we're continuing to have, and it's not just one city, it's not just a couple cities, it seems to, it gets better here, and then now all of a sudden we're having trouble here. And then it's just kind of been a round robin thing, but in the last couple months, we've had some stuff pop up that, based on the conversations that we as a board had around the first of the year, I was surprised that it was surfacing. I will say, some of the cities have new staffers doing new jobs, so that's part of the process, but if you could all go back and help explain the importance of that to those new folks, that, and if they have any questions, by all means, just have them give us a call, we will help them. We would rather help that than dispatch calling saying, we're taking a 911 call from a caller whose address we don't show. That's problematic.
Rose Lane.
Yeah, we have a Rose Lane in Pleasantville that we don't
even know. They assigned like a year ago.
We didn't even know.
We found it, actually it was the voter, the lady came in to register to vote. Like, we don't have this.
Yeah. It doesn't exist.
So, I'm just asking for your help. I mean, we're continuing to do our part. We're obviously having conversations with them, but sometimes if you folks as board members go back and talk to them, that does help. So, I'm just asking for your help.
On Pleasantville's behalf, I think that happened about the time we had the discussion that last time.
Yeah, that was a unique thing. She split her property in half and then built on the back half, so we had to give it, I think, a name on that, and so.
And so, we've pushed out. Geocom pushed out to dispatch right away the new updated map so that it's out there, because obviously the last thing we want is, you know.
Sure.
Okay, there's no further discussion on that. We'll go to number nine.
Okay, the GIS grant. So along with the legislation, many legislation changes that took place last year, the state is making this county is eligible. Okay, let me stop. The state is making, for each PSAP, $15,000 available for GIS maintenance. Well, we have two PSAPs. This board is responsible for two PSAPs, so we're eligible for $30,000. So, it's a no-brainer. To me, it's a no-brainer. You guys can tell me if I'm wrong, but to me, it's a no-brainer. We're either going to pay money out of pocket to somebody and have, we're going to, whether we apply for the grant or not, we're going to have those costs. So I submitted an application and it was approved at the last board meeting in September. So we will be receiving $30,000. So what I'm going to do is, part of that is Brian Hatch's wages at the county engineer's office. He maintains the road layer, and part of it is Kim's. So what I'm gonna do is, right now she's approximately 75% EMA funded and 25% 911. I'm actually gonna flip that. I'm gonna flip-flop those cost codes and pay her up to this amount out of 911, because you'll get that money back, and then 25% out of EMA. So it'll have a budgetary effect, but it should be positive, because EMA spending should be under. Your spending actually will be under, because you'll be, instead of duplicating, instead of paying staff and then paying an outside contractor, we'll be paying it in-house. So that, the time frame that I submitted for our project begins actually the first, October 1st, and runs through the end of the fiscal year. So what we agree on, you have to work 28, 29? I don't remember. It's right here. Kim has to work a total of 1,025 hours between October 1st and the end of June. So we've got that figured out, how many hours per week. We increased it and put a couple weeks of where she's not required to do anything in there, for so we can adapt to anything that might come along. So if you're okay with that, we're gonna proceed with that and keep plowing ahead. That's all I have on that issue.
Okay, there's no further discussion on that. We'll go to number 10.
Okay, there's really, I think 10 and 11 are essentially, they're not one and the same, but they're very similar. So Martha contacted me and requested a third geocom mapping position at the sheriff's office PSAP. So I said I would get a proposal on that. She also presented me with a quotation that she got from Shieldware for a CAD disaster recovery training license, RMS disaster recovery training license, SQL database engine for an amount of $6,750. The Geocom third mapping position, $8,003. So we discussed this with the executive committee. The executive committee suggested, and we were asking you to affirm that tonight, that because none of us know anything about what this is and why it's needed,
that's what I was going to ask, what is it?
That we request that at the next board meeting, they are expected to make a presentation to you and present their case on why this is necessary.
I agree with that.
Okay.
So we're going to table this until they give us more information.
I would prefer a motion and a second, where you tell staff to notify them that they will be expected to make a presentation on both of those requests at the next board meeting.
I would make a motion. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Look at that, you're on number 12 already.
I'm waiting for number 13.
I know you are. We're getting there.
Okay, number 12. New meeting date? Next meeting date?
I know you guys all know this, but I'm going to say it. If we're going to get any kind of thing moving as far as a RFP, a consultant, we're gonna have to meet
sooner.
Later. So I would entertain and suggest, because you've really given us a couple things to do, we could easily do that in a month. So my suggestion to you would be look at somewhere a month from now and tell us what works.
How about the 25th? That's Wednesday.
Yeah, make it towards the end, because we've got all kinds of stuff for fire prevention week and stuff.
Yeah, see, that'll put it 2 weeks past fire prevention week.
That's a bad day for our go-live date for our new cabinet on the systems next day. And we're our build team's meeting with them.
Okay.
I didn't realize that.
I was going to say, even how about October 31st? It's the fifth Tuesday of a month, so there shouldn't be, it's kind of an anomaly, there shouldn't be any.
Are you going trick or treating?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Are you going trick or treating?
I know.
Sorry.
I want to check dates though, because like Monroe's trick or treats the 30th.
Yeah, and ours, they said ours for the 31st.
Why don't we go November 1? That's that Wednesday right after.
Well, what about the 1st?
What are you going on the 1st? What's on the 1st? How about anybody else here?
I don't have a meeting.
November 6th or the 27th of November.
I'm sure I can find something.
I'm open up.
I make a motion November 1.
Okay. 6 p.m. still work for everybody? And we will get a meeting room.
Location to be determined.
Location to be determined, so. The vice chair gets to lucky 13, is there anything else that we need to discuss? Okay.
I'm making a motion, meeting me adjourned.
All right.
Aye.
Hey, Jim.
All opposed?
Aye. You want to stay here?
So here's.
Thanks, everybody, for attending.
We have the original power wagon.
And the other thing is,